All right, hello and welcome to LifePoint. I want to take a minute and look right into the camera and say welcome to everybody who is joining us for the first time at any location, whether you're in the U.S. or around the world. Welcome to all of you. And to all of you who are here for the very first time, our new guests, we always say a big welcome to you. My name is Mike. I get to serve as lead pastor of our church. And if you would, as a guest, just text the letters LPC. The number one more time is 31996. And we just want to give you some simple next steps and a way to connect with our online campus pastor, or if you're in the room, how to make connections for your next steps here. Hey, we're in week four of a five-week series called Freedom. Everybody say freedom. Freedom. It's getting better every week. I'm proud of you. We're modeling it after this book, Ditch the Baggage, which we have in our bookstore at our Rossview campus, and you can get it on Amazon or online, anywhere that you buy books, whatever. But Ditch the Baggage by Nancy Alcorn. And I just want to encourage everybody in our church to have a copy of this in your library. I mean, this book is absolutely a game changer. And I've gotten some of the content for today's message out of this book. But we're walking through this five-week series called Freedom. And the first week we heard from Nancy, and she talked about some basic keys to freedom, including going all in with Jesus, letting your mind be renewed by the Word of God, and then letting God work on some hurts and habits. And then we heard from Dr. Greg Mundis, who shared with us his story of healing and how God sets us free from sin and also from sickness. And then last week, we talked about renovating our mind, transformation through the renovation of our mind, that we take the old junk out, and then we replace it with God's word, with God's will, with God's relationships and people of God. And so I challenged you, and then by the end, I was saying, hey, we need to believe the promises of God for our lives, amen? So today, we're gonna talk about one of the biggest areas of baggage all of us carry. Forgiveness. Forgive me now for preaching on this, because I know this is a very hard message. I wanted to call this sermon the F-bomb, but I didn't think that was appropriate. Talking about forgiveness, what are you thinking? My wife's in the room. I'll hear about that one later. Let me lead us with a guiding verse as an overall theme message for this sermon. Go with me in your Bible to Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 25. Mark 11, 25. Jesus is teaching as he's gone through his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, and he's cleansed the temple, and now the disciples are at the temple, and he's doing this teaching on forgiveness. And he says to them in verse 25, he says, whenever you stand praying, and the prayer posture in the old covenant, in the Jewish tradition, is always standing, face up, hands up. This is a posture that we try to emulate as well. He says, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, is that pretty exhaustive? Well, you don't know what they did to me. Well, that's an exception. Well, that kind of sin is too far. No, wait a minute. If you have anything against anyone, forgive. So that, why? Here's the reason. So that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you. Uh-oh. How many of you want forgiveness? How many of you hate to forgive? Oh, you're lying to me now. Let me try it one more time for the truthful people. How many of you want forgiveness? How many of you struggle to forgive? How many of you have ever heard the word forgiveness? Okay, just making sure you're listening today. Let me unpack this for you, not as ammunition against you, but as a verse to help empower and equip you. Whenever means whenever. If you study this in the original language, it actually means whenever. If at any time, with no exceptions, any time you're in prayer, and the idea God, Jesus is teaching us here, anytime you're in pursuit of the God who's forgiven you, you must reconcile whether you've forgiven others. Anytime you're trying to grow in your devotion life, anytime you're pursuing the Lord, anytime you're working to grow in your devotion towards God, if you have contempt or unforgiveness, the old word is ought, towards anybody, forgive them. That sounds so easy, doesn't it, Jesus? It's like it's like turn the light off when you leave the room, you know? It just sounds so simple. But he said, if at any time, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. So that, he says here in this translation, your Father who forgives may also forgive you. But the why is super important. Look again at the second half of this verse. So that. Now, if you're not careful, any good Pharisees in the room are going to read this as a reason to behave a certain way so that God will forgive you. It's putting in action before God moving towards us, right? So if I'll forgive, then God will forgive me. And the religious view of this is, the counter side of that is, if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. As if God is somehow subjected to our ability to do right. Did y'all catch what I just said? The backside of reading this is, if I don't forgive, God won't forgive me, as if God can't forgive me, or as if God is somehow subjected to my will and my ability to go first. Here's what it means, though. That our forgiveness from God and by God is directly tied to the forgiveness that God gives towards us. Let me say it clearly. I'm not saying that this is some kind of work or activity that we must do in order to get God's forgiveness and salvation. We are freely saved by grace, not of any works, lest any one of us can boast about it. But what he's saying here is, it's not you first forgive and then God can go, oh, finally I can forgive you. What he's saying is, God does not follow our lead, but what he's saying is, our ability to forgive others is directly connected to our receiving of God's forgiveness first. Look, God wants to forgive you freely, and he also expects that we forgive freely too. And if we don't, here's the thing, if we don't forgive freely, it becomes a hindrance to us. It becomes a stumbling block to our own forgiveness and our own ability to receive God's forgiveness. Commentator Alan Cole says it like this. This is not some arbitrary refusal of God to forgive us. It's not like God says, I would forgive you. I would forgive you of all your sin. The cross of Jesus would be enough if you can forgive that other person. He's not saying that. God's not that weak. He doesn't need you to go first. What he's saying is, it is not an arbitrary refusal by God to forgive us. Alan Cole says, if we refuse forgiveness for others, listen, we are also making it impossible to accept and receive the forgiveness offered by God. If we won't extend it, what we're saying is, they don't deserve it. We're actually revealing that we believe we also don't deserve it. And unless we forgive our fellow man and woman freely, it shows that we actually have no consciousness of the grace of forgiveness that we ourselves have received from God. Because listen, it's like generosity begets generosity. Humility inspires humility. Grace and mercy shown to us allows us to show grace and mercy to others. And in the same way, receiving God's forgiveness is the primary motivator for how we walk in forgiveness towards others. If God's forgiven you, you can forgive them. Now listen, if you can't forgive them, have you really experienced God's forgiveness? We got to be careful. The religious person is going to go, if I don't forgive them, God won't forgive me. No, no, no. God's not content. God is not that fragile that he can't move without you moving. What he's saying is, if you can't forgive them, have you really experienced the powerful work of God's forgiveness in your life? Because generous people inspire generosity. Humble people inspire humility. Merciful people inspire mercy. That's what Luke 6 is all about. Give mercy, it'll be given freely to you, right? There's this reciprocity of goodness and an ethic. And if you struggle to forgive others, it's possible and probable that you've really struggled to receive forgiveness. Because how many of you know when you realize the debt that's been forgiven in your life, when you realize how much God does not hold you accountable for anymore? Let's start there. I've got four faces of forgiveness, I called it, and I struggled with the title of the message because I don't want to sound like an expert on forgiveness, because I have definitely struggled with this. And I think there are more faces to forgiveness. But four's enough for one sermon. So let's start with forgiving others. This is the first one. It's the most common one we talk about, right? It's the one, anytime you hear a sermon on forgiveness, it's about, hey, forgive the person who hurt you. And how many of us struggle with forgiving others? It's where forgiveness always seems to be, it's the hot button of forgiveness, it's forgiving somebody else. So let's start there, and I'm not gonna spend a ton of time there. Honestly, Pastor Jordan Smalley preached on this a couple months ago in our parable series, and he killed it. He did such a great job. I don't wanna re-preach his whole sermon, but I do wanna give you some talking points for your small group this week. Come on, small groups, come on, small groups. Hey, hey. Forgiving others is a huge part of our lives, whether it's forgiving a family member who abandoned you, a friend who betrayed you, someone you don't know who's offended you online, in the news, on a political stump, or just driving down the road. Forgiving other people is a part of life, and it's hard. It's costly, it's painful, it's necessary. Many times we struggle to forgive because we assume that we know best how much anger we should carry, and we assume that we know best how much they deserve, including when we think they deserve our forgiveness or lack of bitterness. Am I talking to anybody in the room besides me? Back in the summer, Pastor Jordan preached about this, and he shared the text in Matthew 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant. In this parable, in Matthew 18, he tells the story of a servant who goes to his master, and he found out that he had calculated a debt worth $13 billion. Depending on the service you were in, it was $13 trillion. And that was totally my bad. I had to own up to that. I was like, bro, I gave you the wrong number. I'm so sorry. My calculations were incorrect. So he owes his boss $13 billion. How many of you know that is a terrible Tuesday to come to the boss's office and he brings out his abacus and he's like, here's how much you owe me, son. That's like old school movies when they put dollar amounts on paper and slide it across the desk. And he begs his master, please, please, please give me time to pay it off. And the master, having compassion, just said, you know what? Debt's free and clear. Don't worry about it anymore. You're completely forgiven. And then he leaves that place. And in Matthew chapter, what did I say? 18. Yep. He goes out on the street. And he sees a guy that he works with who owes him about $23,000 or half a year's wages, right? And he chokes the guy out. He threatens to throw him in prison. He says, I'm going to hold you in prison until you pay me back. Now, he'd just been forgiven $13 billion, and he chokes a guy out for $23,000. Let's compare the data again. $13 billion, that's a whole lot of White Houses. $23,000, that's a used pickup truck. It's nice, but it ain't new. And the moral of that parable, Jesus said, we have all been the servant that God has forgiven every debt, every sin, everything we've done, and yet we still have the gall and the audacity and the nerve to hold someone accountable for something little they did. Did they crucify the Son of God on the cross? Did they absolutely bring the sin of the whole human race to fruition? No. And if God can forgive all of that, then you can forgive the person who cut you off at Walmart. Then you can forgive the dad who abandoned you. Then you can forgive the person who assaulted you. Yes, there are levels of offense, and yes, those things are painful, but none of them are as great as the forgiveness God has given, that all of the debt of all of human sin can be forgiven. So that's what Jordan preached to us. And he said, since forgiveness is rooted in our belief that God forgives us, I'm here to declare to you today, listen, everybody, since forgiveness is rooted in the belief that God's forgiven us, then I'm here to tell you that you can forgive others. Since God can forgive you, you can forgive them. Here's how I know that. Since God's nature includes forgiveness and his spirit dwells in you, then now it's in your new nature to be a forgiver. Woo! See how I just did that? Since it's in God's nature to forgive and his spirit lives in you, that means your new nature, new creation, come on, saved people, it's in your new nature to forgive. Listen, if you want to hold unforgiveness, you're walking in the old nature. If you want to be bitter and hold things against people forever and just refuse to forgive, you're living in the old nature. But since the spirit of God is on the inside of you and he's a forgiver, you're a forgiver. You can do it. Now, how? And how many times you grit your teeth and how you eat a pillow trying to pray over them, that's going to be different for all of us. If you've experienced God's forgiveness, though, if you've received forgiveness from him, then it's within you to forgive others. And his spirit's going to empower you to do it. I believe this is a matter of prayer. It's a matter, first, of prayer. It's a matter of commitment. I'm going to tell you something. Praying for somebody you're mad at is hard. You ever read verses of the Bible that you just go, I wish that wasn't in there? When Jesus says, pray for your enemies, I just want to be like, but Jesus, man, just shh. Talk about something else, man. Heal a goat. Get out my face. He says, pray for your enemies. I'll never forget years ago, I was super duper offended. Super offended. Since I've been pastor here, really, really mad. Angry mad, like fist to cuffs, like angry, want to see him in the street, kind of mad. And my mentor told me to pray for him and pray that God bless him. I was like, I want to hang up on my mentor, cuss him out too, and be all bitter with him as well. Y'all are like, this pastor talks about cussing a lot. I'm good. It's for humor's sake. And I remember it was in the old building, and our sound booth was about seven rows back where you guys are sitting there. And I remember praying like this, because I was hurt, so hurt. I said, God, I pray you bless them, good. Bless them with heaven if you want to, God. Come on, give them. And I would just pray. I'd call the name out and I'd pray for him. I'd pray for blessing and peace and favor and healthy marriage and kids to serve God. I have a pastor friend. He and I were talking about this about 2 months ago. He's one of my good friends in Clarksville, pastors across town. He was telling me about a guy that tried to come on to his wife when he was newly married. He got married young, and then this guy was chasing his wife, and he was, this is before Jesus. And he said, I stalked this guy. He said, one time I saw him downtown by what's now the Regions Bank building, 2nd and Main. And he said, I drug him out of his car and beat him into the ground. This is my pastor friend. And he said, and I kept stalking him. I'd follow him. I'd follow him to his house at night. He said, I had every intention to destroy this guy. And then he goes, and then I got saved. And he said he started doing ministry with his church. And one night he was driving somewhere and he saw that guy. And he wanted to kill him, seriously. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, forgive him. And he tells the Lord, no. Uh-uh. He just gets right, like, you know how you ever fight with God over when he's convicting you, and you're like, uh-uh, you better talk to my wife, man. You ain't talking to me like that, Lord. He said, he told him no. He said, God said, pray for him. Pray for him like you love him. And he said, he remembers sitting at a red light, and he started praying for this guy. Now, this guy's an evangelist. He's, like, big into ministry and missions. And he said, so, Mike, I started praying for him that God would bless every part of his life. He said, I was mad praying about it. And then he said, I started praying and confessing that God would build up his ministry. He said, I'd pray that God give him a ministry as big as Reinhard Bonnke. Some of y'all who don't know who that is, he's one of the greatest evangelists of our generation. He said, I pray God give him. And he said, every time I think of him, I pray God give him a ministry as big as Reinhard Bonnke. He said, all of a sudden, my views of him changed in prayer. He said, I've never talked to the guy again, but I don't want to kill him now. He said, I want him to preach like Reinhard Bonnke. He said, it's amazing. When I think of the guy now, I imagine he's preaching somewhere around the world bigger than Reinhard Bonnke. He goes, I don't even know if the guy's saved or not, but that's what I think of him because I prayed through my unforgiveness. I believe prayer is a huge key to forgiveness, and that's where it has to start. Forgiveness is a matter of prayer. Forgiveness is a matter of choice. Listen, God is always going to give you this option to forgive. He's never going to make you do it. But he modeled it when Jesus himself hung on the cross, naked and ashamed in front of the very people that put him there, and he prayed that God forgive them. I mean, can you imagine the people that nailed his arms to that tree, that cross, in front of his mother, ripped his beard out, spat on him, mocked him, and his biggest speech on the cross was to the Lord of heaven, to give forgiveness to them. And the same spirit that was in Jesus is the same spirit that's in you. Listen, let me help you. And this book is really good to talk through this. Forgiveness is not saying that what somebody did was okay, okay? It's not going, you know what, it's no big deal. No, listen. Assault, offense, pain, it is a big deal. That's why you're unforgiving. So forgiveness is not going, hey, it's no big deal. Water under the bridge. No, it's not saying it's not okay. It's that what they did is okay. Sometimes you have to, if you have the opportunity to go, what you did hurt. What you did offended me. Look at your spouse when they hurt you and say, what you did hurt me. Forgiveness is not saying it's not that it was okay. Forgiveness is not giving somebody permission to hurt you again. This is where I was at. I'm like, I forgive. I don't need to do life with you anymore, right? Forgiveness. Unforgiveness is this vicious cycle of being trapped in victimization again and again. Forgiveness releases you from the cycle, but it doesn't mean you got to jump back into it and try it again. Hey, I forgive you. I'm not going to be friends with you. I'm not going to do life with you. Or if it's at home and you can't move out, right? You shouldn't. I forgive you, but in order for us to be close again, some things have to change. We need counseling. We need help. Forgiveness is not. Does not mean having a relationship with them again. And you got to figure this out based on the relational equity you already have. Forgiveness doesn't mean you have to tell the person that you forgive them. You may not see them again, right? Like if you're in a relationship and you're around them, the coworkers, they're in your church, whatever. Some of y'all are sitting over here because you can't stand sitting with that person anymore. You know what I'm saying? Some of you watching online because you're just mad at somebody in the church. You may not be in a place where you get to tell them, and you may not have, forgiveness is a matter of prayer. Now, sometimes you need to go to them. If you're still around them, you need to go tell them they offended you, but not necessarily all the time. Forgiveness doesn't always mean that justice will not be done. Some of us need to trust that God is more just than you. I mean, any vengeful payback reciprocity people? Come on, I'm the youngest of three boys. I'm a payback machine. Why don't we trust that God will pay it back? Maybe God will put the penalty of their sin against you on Jesus and forgive them too. That's too much to go into right now. Because one of our challenges is, I can forgive them, but I need them to be punished. I need them to pay for what they did. I need them to pay now. I need them to get justice. Well, all of the justice of God was actually put on Jesus. Now, this is hard for us to trust sometimes. Jesus paid it all, even for lost people. We love to sing that in church, right? Jesus paid it all to him I owe. He paid it all for them too that haven't received him yet. So maybe God's just enough to go, you know what, I put their sin on him too, and he's drawing them, and his forgiveness for them would be justice enough. Forgiveness is saying what someone did is not okay, but you're letting God bring justice into the situation and defend you. It declares your confidence in God, actually. Forgiveness is a confession that God is bigger than you. Forgiveness brings you clarity about the relationship, gives you an opportunity to set boundaries. We'll put all this online if you want it. Forgiveness means having a proper heart attitude towards the person, even with boundaries, right? We just did a guardrail series. Forgiveness means trusting that there's a day of judgment coming. God's not a fool. He won't be mocked. Everyone will be judged according as they should be judged. All right, let me move on because Pastor Jordan did a great job on this. So that's the first phase of forgiveness. The second one is forgiving yourself. Now, I know this is difficult for many of us. In fact, this comes up so much in pastoral counseling. We struggle to let go of our own regrets. We struggle because we blame ourselves. We're naturally wired to blame ourselves or others closely related to us. But then when we're alone, we start taking blame. Our own mistakes, whatever we've done, whether people know about it or not, whether it's secretive or not, some of us really struggle to forgive ourselves. And some of us can forgive others, but the regret and shame that we put on ourselves for our own poor choices, we struggle to forgive. We think, I'm worthless. I'm damaged goods. Look at what I've done. This is all my fault. And listen, I want to remind you of some scripture because it'll help bring transformation to your mind. Remember last Sunday I said we need to have transformation by renovation of our mind. We need to get some bad mindsets out of our head. And if any of you are struggling with forgiving yourself, whatever it is, something you did in secret, something you did in your past, I mean, all of us have this in our lives. Psalm 103, however, says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." You know, steadfast means steady. It never wavers. It never changes. "He will not always chide or discipline, nor will he keep his anger forever." Now, some of us are in discipline of the Lord right now, and that's because he loves you. He's convicting you. He's letting accountability come, but it's because he loves you. But look what he says. "He won't always chide forever or keep his anger forever. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities." Why? Because he dealt with Jesus for our sins. He put all the penalty of sin on Christ. In fact, he didn't put it on Christ. He received it as Christ. Come on now. Jesus is God. He's not the little kid that God beat up. Jesus, the Lord, took all of our sin for us. And listen, then he goes on with this promise. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love for us." Like, it's immeasurable. You will never, ever sin your way out of the love of God. Whenever my daughters ask, "Dad, do you forgive me?" You know, if they've done something and we deal with discipline, they go, "Do you forgive me?" My answer is, and I've been saying it a lot more, I always forgive. And part of that is, it's true. Part of it's teaching me. But I want them to know that nothing they ever do will ever generate my unforgiveness. Nothing. If I'm going to be a man who leads them as a man of God. Because nothing you have ever done will generate God's unforgiveness. Nothing. He goes, "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards us." And look at this. "As far as the east is from the west." That's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. I want you to think as far that way is, as far infinitely that way and that way. That's how far God has removed the shame and the guilt and the name of our sin from us. Now listen to me. If that's true, he goes on to say, make your attitude the same attitude as Christ. If that's the attitude God has towards you, listen to me, this needs to be the attitude you have towards yourself. As far as, now, don't be cavalier about sin. Don't be cavalier about things that need forgiveness. Put it before the Lord and ask God to forgive, and then forgive yourself. Let the forgiveness that God puts on you be the forgiveness that you give to yourself. You can't say, God's forgiven me, but I'm still living in shame and depression and anxiety about my sin. You got to understand, this was always God's plan and promise for us. Even though this is Old Testament writer, the heart of God is that we live holy, we live forgiven, and we live with his forgiveness. And in Christ, this is 100% the reality and norm for us. Let me say it as clearly as I know how. God is so good to you and for you and in you, he doesn't even remember the thing that you're wallowing in your shame for. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he removes our transgressions from us. You are living in a cycle of your own shame, and God's going, what are you even upset about? I don't even know what you're talking about. I forgave that. It's under the blood of Christ. I punished myself for it. I took the payment of that sin. I was scorned for your iniquity. I was chastised for your peace. And I took your shame and guilt for you. What are you upset about? Well, I just don't know if I can ever overcome what I did in secret that day, what I did in that doctor's office one day, what I did in that bedroom one day. God said, I don't even know what you're talking about. You asked me to forgive, so I forgave. Why are you living in unforgiveness towards you? Hey, look at me, everybody. Unless you're Jesus, you've got screw-ups in your life. Let's move on. Unforgiveness is a debt that can never be repaid. Why are you putting yourself in debt to yourself? Forgive yourself. If God's forgiven you, forgive yourself. Stop living in this shame and this cycle of pity and anger at yourself. Listen, God doesn't even know what you're talking about. This is the Holman Christian Study Bible. Make your attitude that of Christ. In the Contemporary Study Bible, it says, adopt the same attitude as that of Jesus. So, hey, look at me, everybody. Do you believe God's forgiven you? Do you believe God can forgive you? Then forgive yourself. Then be forgiven. This is not to be cavalier with sin and just do whatever you want and be like, forget it. It's in the sea of unforgetfulness. No, no, no. Be godly and walk in godliness, but where you've made mistakes and where you've put it to the Lord and said, God, I receive your forgiveness, then walk in the forgiveness yourself. If God's not bothered by it, you shouldn't be bothered by it. So how do we get there? Remember, forgiveness is a matter of prayer. Forgiveness is a matter of choice. Forgiveness is a matter of habit. This is an area that I want to talk about. This is the third face of forgiveness. I'm not gonna spend a lot of time here, but I think it's worth reading about. And I wanna encourage all of you, if you could, get on YouTube and look up Ravi Zacharias, R-A-V-I, and look into his teachings on why does God allow bad things to happen? Because many of us struggle with forgiving God. It may seem like a strange concept, but it's actually one of the truest struggles of all mankind. Maybe there's a great conversation piece in your small group. Is there something that has happened in your life that you're still angry with God about? If you've ever had something bad happen to you and you thought it was unfair, or you wondered, where was God with that? Why did God let this happen? Or you just felt God should have intervened, God should have done something, then this part's for you. Listen, every one of us, if we're honest, has been mad at God, blamed God, questioned God, because something bad has happened to a good person or someone we love. I just watched a friend who buried his 13-year-old son. I've seen tragic stories of a faithful spouse who their wandering spouse finally reveals, I've been cheating on you for years, and they leave and then take everything. I've watched faithful Christians lose a loved one to cancer. I've watched young people's dad abandon them. And we go, where was God? Why does God allow abortion and tsunamis and tidal waves and all these natural disasters? Why did God let my spouse get that illness? She was a prayer warrior. He was a man of faith. Lost a good job, societal, where's God in the pandemic? These are common questions, and they're never going away because we live in a fallen world. Theologically, the term is called theodicy. Theo, T-H-E-O-D-I-C-Y. It's the idea of God allowing pain and evil to exist and persist in this world. And I want to challenge you again to study this idea of the theodicy. And I want to challenge you, if this is a question you've struggled with, you're not alone. But withholding affection towards God is not the right answer. To get angry at God instead of leaning into God because you don't have the why is not helpful. To be bitter with God because you don't have the answer that you demand is not the right response. We have to understand that we are living in a fallen, broken world, which is the reason Christ came to this world, to redeem and restore fallen and broken humanity. And the sin that runs rampant has been going on since Genesis chapter 3. And it fleshes out in so many different ways: disease, pestilence, famines, war, sickness. All kinds of things happen because of the sin of the Garden of Eden. And until Christ returns, we will still have pain and brokenness in this world. But Jesus says, take heart, I've overcome this world. And for those of us that belong to Christ, we can actually know that this kingdom is not all there is. And even though there's brokenness and pain in this world, we have a God who's perfect and holy. And let me just tell you something. God is always good. God is never against you. He will allow pain. He'll allow things to happen because we have allowed it to enter into our world as a human race. But we trust God and we trust in his word. In Romans 8:28, it says, we know for those who love God that all things work together for good. It may not make sense now, and trust me, I'm not trying to give a pat answer. Like, this is the worst scripture to give someone at the funeral for their kid. I remember when my wife and I lost everything in a fire, I had Christians tell me, well, all things work together for good. I'm like, I'm gonna torture you. Get out of my face. That's not the right time to hear that. This is when we lean into the peace of God. This is when we walk people through their grief. But I'm telling you objectively to remember the word of God. All things will work together for good. Joseph said, what you guys meant for harm, God will use for good. We either trust the word or we don't. We either trust God's character or we don't. John 10:10 says, don't forget, there's a thief. There's a devil. We love to blame God when bad things happen. But Jesus himself said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you're dealing with theft, destruction, and death in your life, you need to stop blaming God and start cursing the devil and start standing with God and believing that he has come that we can have life to the full. I think of an amazing prayer warrior in our church. Sons in ministry, just dynamic, leading in ministry and missions and small groups here in our church. And husband left, abandoned, like just tragic. And I walked with her, Stephanie and I did, walking with her through this. And I've never seen somebody lean into prayer so much. We'd get to talking and she'd start praying in the spirit, she'd start crying out to God in the middle of a conversation. And I know my Redeemer lives. I know my God is better than this. He's a faithful man. He's a faithful mate. He'll never abandon me. And I trust God more than ever. And in the midst of her deepest, darkest season of pain, she didn't choose to blame God. She chose to lean into God. If you've struggled with anger or unforgiveness to God, hear me. And let me just be a truth-telling pastor for a moment. God has never been bad to you. I want you to get that in your spirit. God has never been bad to you, but the devil has never been good to you. The enemy is your enemy. God is not your enemy. You can ditch the baggage of being mad at God, and you can trust him. You can come to him. You can love him. You can be close to him, and he'll heal you of your hurt, your scars, and his loving kindness will always welcome you. Hey, here's the last face of forgiveness I want to talk about. Are y'all getting anything out of this today? I know it's heavy. It's heavy. But this is one of the greatest areas that we need freedom in, is forgiveness. So we've talked about forgiving others, forgiving ourselves, forgiving God. And then finally, I want to talk to you about receiving God's forgiveness. And this goes kind of back to the forgiving yourself. Some of you just won't forgive your own self, but some of us actually believe this myth. You've done something so bad, God himself cannot forgive it. I've pastored in this town for 10 and a half years, and I've sat with a lot of soldiers who, in a moment of combat, had to make decisions against somebody with a weapon that they still see the whites of their eyes, they still regret every night, and they live with torment. And they'll say, God can forgive me of everything else but that. I've talked with women who have made the terrible, painful decision to end the life of an unwanted pregnancy. I've talked to marriages that have fallen apart, husbands that have made tragic mistakes. I've talked to kids who have gone too far down the road on everything from addiction to theft to crime. But one of the keys of our freedom is to understand that nothing you've done is so big that it limits God's ability to forgive it. If you can sin so bad that God can't forgive it, than your God. If you can sin so bad that God goes, I got nothing left for that. I got nothing to do. I can't forgive it. It's too big. Or that it would stir the anger of God so much that he would look at you and go, how dare you? I can't believe you did that. I'll never forgive it. Then actually you're God and he's small and he's weak. I want to say this as clearly as I know how. If you've said to the Lord, I believe in Jesus, I confess my sin, listen to me. Everybody look right at me. You are totally forgiven by God. Everything is totally forgiven by God. Now you applaud that, but I want you to apply that. You're totally forgiven by God. Don't ever, ever believe that God withholds shame and condemnation because you did something too extreme. Don't ever believe that. There's nothing in this world that you've done that God cannot forgive, and here's why. If God expects that we forgive, listen to this. If God expects that we forgive, and God calls unforgiveness a sin, right? Everybody with me so far? If God expects we to forgive, and God says unforgiveness is a sin, how in the world do you think you can do something so tragic that God would walk in the sin of unforgiveness towards you? God can never sin. So that means he must forgive. He wants to forgive. He desires to forgive. And whether you've done something in a bedroom, on a battlefield, with your finances, against your children, in your marriage, listen, you need to receive God's forgiveness today. Some of you have never truly believed that God's forgiven you. Maybe this is great discussion for small groups this week. It might be a heavy small group. Y'all need to bring some good food this week. I'll be bringing them healthy veggies only. You know what I'm saying? I need some cheesecake this week. If we believe the Bible, we're a Bible church, right? He says, if we confess our sins, if you just tell the Lord, put it before him. James chapter 5 says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. And he says, if you confess your sins, God is faithful to forgive you and to cleanse you from all the unrighteous things you've done. Can I get some help, Hermes, here real quick? The series is called Ditch the Baggage. And I think if anything is a heavy weight for us, it's the weight of unforgiveness. Everybody say what's up to my friend Hermes here. Come here right here. Here's what happens. We get these bags when we start life, don't we? And we just live in so many ways of just filling them up. And this is the one that I carried a long time. Dad issues. My parents divorced when I was 1.5. Man, I just carried this rock for 24 years. And maybe some of you are carrying this right here. My husband left me and abandoned me. Or man, that boss of mine, they offended me so deeply. That pastor never emailed me back. These are more manageable though. My coworker stole my food out of the refrigerator. This is the little bag of like, this is Wilma Rudolph unforgiveness. This is everything on Fort Campbell Boulevard. Come on, everybody. You know it's sprinkled all in there, isn't it? We come back around and we say things like, but you don't know my story. God let that happen. She said she'd be faithful to me forever. I thought he was a man of God. I'm out of room. Just pile it on top. And many of us are walking around. How's that feel? Yeah. Tough. I want you to carry this for the next 35 years of your life. 60 years of your life. See, I look at some of our older saints and I'm thinking, the joy in some of their lives, they just realized unforgiveness just ain't worth it, is it? This is bags that you don't need to carry anymore. These are bags that God doesn't have for you. And in fact, because we believe the Bible, Jesus said, hey, I'll just take this bag for you. And I'll hide it in the cross. I'll carry the shame. I'll bear it for you. And look how free he just sprung up off the stage. Hermes, I needed you to stay here and like jump off and yee-hee. That's about 100 pounds, I think, I put in your bag, maybe 350. You got to decide if you're going to let God be God or if you're going to be God in this area of unforgiveness. Pastor Jordan shared that quote, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. You got to decide if you're going to let the model of Jesus, God forgive them, they don't even know what they're doing, be the model of your life. And I want to encourage you to take this bag off your life. Just ditch this bag. Get rid of this baggage of unforgiveness. Choose to walk in forgiveness. Here's what I said earlier. Forgiveness is a matter of prayer. Forgiveness is a matter of choice. Forgiveness is a matter of habit. And listen, today you're going to have enough opportunity to be offended again. Choose to forgive. Tomorrow you're going to have an opportunity to be offended. You know what somebody said to me this morning? First thing they said to me, woohoo, how about them Vols? And I literally said, Gator Dave. So I'm so glad I'm preaching on forgiveness today. It's a matter of prayer. It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of habit. Will you trust the Lord as much as he's forgiven you that you can forgive others? Can we stand together on our feet? Everybody, come on, even watching at home, just stand with me as we pray for forgiveness. Lord, we love you and we honor you and we thank you. This is the day that you've made. We rejoice in it. We don't believe that we're here on accident to hear this message. God, we believe in Jesus' name. You've given us this word that we can be changed forever. So God, we just submit to you and we submit to the scripture. We submit to this message about forgiveness, these four areas of forgiveness, that Lord, you would help us. Can we just open our hands to the Lord right now? Come on, everybody. I want you to lay an area of unforgiveness before the Lord right now. Come on, name the person you haven't forgiven. Name the sin you've not forgiven in yourself. Name the thing that you believe you have not received forgiveness for. Come on, just say it quietly to the Lord in prayer right now. Put it before God. Name that person. Come on, I just walked through this last month. It is hard, hard, hard. God, we name this area of unforgiveness in our lives. And we say, Lord God, greater is he that is in us than that unforgiving, spineless devil that's in this world. Greater is he that is in us that allows us to be forgiven. And God, that allows us to forgive others. Our prayer team's coming right now, and I believe some of us need to have just a touch from God today before we leave. If you need prayer for this, come be prayed over. If you need prayer to help forgive somebody that hurt you, come be prayed over. If you need prayer to receive God's forgiveness, you can confess it in this altar. I'm telling you, it is a safe place to say it. And you can say, I've done this and I need God's forgiveness, and let them speak life. I trust everyone in this prayer space right now to speak life over you, to speak forgiveness over you. And I want you to walk out of here with that bag off your shoulders today, that you would let that thing go and walk in freedom. In Jesus' name, we submit to you. We receive your forgiveness. To God be the glory. We know that Jesus died to forgive once for all sin, in Jesus' name. Everybody pray this with me. God, I believe in Jesus, that he died for all sin, including my own, including the sins of those who've hurt me. I receive your forgiveness. I extend forgiveness in Jesus' name. Come on, say, I confess my sin. I repent in Jesus' name. And I accept the Lord as my Savior, my forgiver, my Redeemer, in Jesus' name. To God be the glory.